The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parents Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
A very warm welcome to The Parent Show. I'm Cathy Weston.
And I'm Georgie Tavell.
Georgie is joining us tonight, our green parent, I'd say you are, Georgie.
Trying very hard.
And what topic are we talking about this evening on The Parent Show?
Tonight's show, we're going to be discussing our consumer choices and how they affect both our children and the environment.
Okay, great. So a challenging one. Oh, who's our first guest going to be? Because you think she's on the line.
First guest up tonight is Lucy Hamlin. She's from Mini Naked. And if we get on, she can tell us a bit more about her company.
Okay, welcome, Lucy.
Hi.
Hi,
how
Lucy.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
So, Lucy, you are the chief exec of Mini Naked, the children's natural body care range.
That's right, yes.
Would you like to tell us a little bit more about Mini Naked and what your product range is, Lucy?
Yes, Mini Naked, it's part of a larger range called Naked Body Care, but Mini Naked is our range for babies and young children. And it's 97% natural. It comprises of four products. There's one called the Knee-High Detangler Shampoo, Cute as a Button Bath Foam, and we've got My First Butter and Go Gaga Gentle Body Wash. So basically, it's 97% natural, possibly more. It's free from synthetic fragrance, which we know is very important for some of our customers. It's also free from sulfates, free from parabens, petrochemicals, and phthalates. And what we believe on Naked is that we like to offer customers another choice for people to enable them to kind of reduce toxic load, so to speak. And we know, obviously, that this is very important for parents. When choosing things to use on their babies or young children. And what we tried to do with Naked when we developed it was to sort of make something that had the least amount of ingredients as possible, if you like. So in a sense, what we say about Naked is it's less about what's in it and than it is what's not in it.
And Lucy, in terms of already whilst you've been talking, we have a text about someone asking about is it safe for children to use who've got eczema or any specific skin conditions like that?
Well, obviously we're not treating those conditions, but what we do know is particularly when we talk about an ingredient like sulfates are actually an ingredient that causes a product to foam, and they're generally used in a lot of cosmetic products. Now, we don't use sulfates. They're usually called sodium laureth sulfate or sodium lauryl sulfate. And we use an alternative which is much gentler on the skin. And what we know, and we know this from a lot of feedback that we get from our customers, is that sulfates can be an irritant for the skin in some cases, and also can aggregate conditions like eczema and other skin conditions. So we don't use sulfates, and we know from our customer feedback that can be very effective when people have got eczema or other skin conditions.
And Lucy, on parabens, I know it's a word kind of that's been used a lot recently, and it's a preservative that most people know now to avoid. But can you tell us a little bit more about why we should avoid parabens?
Well, it's a similar kind of thing. As you say, parabens are preservatives, and what they do is they destroy bacteria in products. And by nature, they're looking to destroy bacteria. They're quite harsh ingredients, and again, they can be irritants for certain skin types. So it's something that we choose not to use, and something again that we find quite effective for our customers who've got sensitive skins to leave out parabens out of our formulations.
I did do a little research on it when I was looking on your products, and then saw that parabens, although it's not been confirmed research, they have been found in breast cancer tumours as well. So I thought that's a definite one that everyone should look out for on products and avoid.
Yes, that's certainly something that we that many people will be aware of. It's not something that's necessarily agreed with or proven within the industry, but for us, it's about choice.
And not taking a risk, really.
Yeah. Some people just don't want to use them, so we don't include them in our products.
Lucy, what sort of products do have parabens in them? Because I think a lot of listeners wouldn't be familiar with that term.
Well, parabens are very common in toiletry products.
Okay.
And you can find them if you look at the ingredient list on the back of the product, and they're usually called paraben or something paraben.
You'll get propyl paraben or methyl paraben, yeah.
Yeah, and they are very common because you have to have something in a formulation that avoids the product going going off, so to speak. But there are alternatives, and that's, you know, that's where we're active.
I did also see another scary part in the research, and it said that parabens have been shown to display the ability to slightly mimic estrogen. And this aspect is, they are saying that it could be a factor in the increasing prevalence of early puberty in girls. So yes, I think it is one of the strong ones. Although the research may not be confirmed, it's almost like when smoking, people thought it may be dangerous. It seems almost like one of those things that probably is a very good idea to avoid.
Yes, and it's one of those things that there's a lot of controversy around them. If you look on the internet, there's a lot of information about them. You know, some people saying they're bad, some people saying they're not bad, but as I say, I mean, we like to be very transparent with what we do at Naked. We don't say, we're not trying to say, you know, you shouldn't do this, but we're saying we don't use them. And if you want to make that choice about what you use on yourself or what you use on your children, we can offer you that particular option.
And then going on to, I just saw that your bottles are made from sort of 50% recycled materials. And then are there any other ways that your company goes gently on the environment?
Well, our key thing, as you say, is that we use PCR, which is post-consumer regrind in our bottles, which is basically ground up old, you know, drinks, bottles and so on.
Yeah.
We use 50% in our bottles, so that's something we're very proud of. Other than that, we produce all our products in the UK, which is obviously very important to consumers currently, and it reduces our carbon footprint in terms of manufacturing.
I also, to sort of add in with your company, I also saw that you don't use rosewood essential oil because that's not a sustainable wood. So I thought that's brilliant.
Yes, that's something that we take care on,
Yeah, because rosewood, especially in sort of tropical rainforests, I know that there's almost a trade, like a drug trade in rosewood, I've read articles on. And then also, which I hadn't heard of before, that RSPO, the Round Table of Palm Oil.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I've made a note of it. It's an organisation which allows you to buy certificates for green palms, kind of offset the palm oil that you put in your products. It's very, very difficult in the industry to get traceability on palm oil, and palm oil is used commonly in all toiletries. Well, it's almost impossible to avoid in many different forms. So what we do with our manufacturer is we buy these certificates for green palm oil, so that in a sense offsets the palm oil that we're using. But also we are quite careful about where our palm oil comes from. We do have agreements from our suppliers, so we know that it's not coming from areas where they're stripping areas of important environmental concerns.
Okay, so if listeners are just joining us, we're talking tonight about our consumer choices as parents and how they affect our children and the environment. And we've got Lucy Hamlin on the phone from Mini Naked. And we've been talking about your products, Lucy. They seem to be responsible in many directions, you know, environmentally. I think parents probably would have confidence in using them because of the naturally derived ingredients. And I think as well, there's something around the fact that if you don't have those chemicals in those products, you know, we're not washing them down the drain. They're not affecting the environment in a wider way.
Yeah, and I think because, you know, they're not necessary, it's great to give people a choice. And the thing that we're really proud of at Naked is it's very affordable. When people talk about natural, quite often they think that means that they're going to have to dig deep into their pockets. But, you know, these products that we do, Mini Naked, are at £4 price point. They're available in Boots, so they're very accessible. They're very affordable. So just because it's natural and it's free from certain ingredients, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to spend a lot of money. And that's something that's really important to us on Naked. It's about having natural but making it affordable.
Lucy, again, you can find it in Boots. Where else can you find the products?
Well, Boots is the main outlet for all of our products. Not only do we do Mini Naked, which is for babies and young children, but we do a range of hair care, body care. We do a range of children's shampoos as well. And all of that is available in Boots, and it's widely available in larger branches of Boots. We also do a skincare range as well, and that's actually in Superdrug, so that's the exception. But then all of our products can be looked at and bought from our website, which is nakedbodycare.com.
Yeah, funny, now that I can remember what the brand looks like from trips around
Boots. It's a cute little brand. You know, it's fun. We have a range, as I said, of shampoos for kids, which are really great fun with really great flavors like jam sandwiches, and we get a lot of feedback from our customers saying that not only do they love the products, but their kids love them as well, and that's really, really gratifying.
And again, you know, when people receive, if you have web shop deliveries, you know, everyone will receive it in environmentally friendly materials. I think people, yeah, parents are so sick of having packaging, yeah, that is completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we're always doing our best to reduce waste where we can, and those kind of things, like the way we package our goods. And, you know, our service levels and so on. We're really, really proud of what we do at Naked.
You know, it's quite a few things that just chatting to you about has just reminded me of when I buy things for my kids. It's one, the products that are going on their skin. Two, it's the source, which will affect the local communities, and especially like palm oil, where it will be from the developing world, and it will affect the environment. And then three, the packaging, because that's such a huge one. That is such a terrible waste. So, yeah,
as you said, Georgie, it's just so easy to just go and buy a big plastic bottle of soap.
You know, it's like additional cartons, you know, many brands will have bottles that they'll be in cartons as well. That's something that we would avoid. We don't like to do that because it's wasteful. It's not necessary. And actually, it ends up costing the customer more as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Lucy,
well, thank you so much for joining us, Lucy.
You're quite welcome.
It's been lovely to chat to you. Thank you.
Thank you
so
much. Take good care. Thank you very, very much.
Bye.
Welcome back to The Parent Show. Tonight we are talking about our consumer choices as parents and how they affect the environment, and thinking really about how, you know, how ethical our approach is to buying particular products. We've spoken to
Lucy Hamlin from Mini Naked.
Yeah, just a few moments ago. And now we've got Tessa Strickland on the phone, who is the founder of Barefoot Books. How are you, Tessa?
I'm well, thank you, Georgie. How are you?
Hi, Tessa. Nice to have you on the show tonight.
Now, Tessa, you have a collection of books called Barefoot Books. Can you tell us a little bit about them? What makes them special?
I'll do my best. So we're an independent business, and I started the company 20 years ago when my children were little. And I started it because, as a parent, I wanted picture books that would really celebrate children's imagination and introduce them to different cultures around the world. And I also wanted the kind of stories that would inspire in children a respect for the environment and an appreciation of cultural diversity and ecological diversity. That sounds a bit heavy. So they are the other criteria is that we're age sensitive, so that the stories are very accessible for the age for which they're intended. And one of the hallmarks of our program is that we devote quite a lot of care to finding really wonderful illustrators. And so a lot of people say, oh, your books are really gorgeous to look at. So I think those are the main things that they're about imagination. They're about introducing children to cultural and ecological diversity, and we really try to make them look lovely as well as be great to read aloud.
I know my kids and I love them. We've got Elephant Dance is one of our favourites about India.
Yeah.
And we're sailing down the Nile. We're reading at the moment. We got it out the library this week.
Thank you.
I just love them because although you say it's all about like ecological diversity and that, but it's done in such a subtle way. Even the ones we've bought sort of from Oxfam that are very much environmentally focused.
Yeah.
Is that they just share the story and it's like a story and they just learn it very naturally. So I think I just think that you've done really well in that. And as you said, the illustrators, we all went on safari. I think being from South Africa and loving the bush, it is one of our favourites.
Uh-huh.
And your illustrators are, really, really super and really great. And the one thing I also really love about your books is that you have got very high environmental standards for both your paper and your manufacturing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, because what we're chatting about as well is that being conscious about not just what we're buying for our kids and how it affects them, but how it affects the environment.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could share with us a little bit about how you select your paper for your books.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
So it's quite murky territory, the paper industry. And so we take quite a lot of care to make sure that we are not buying pulp paper that has been illegally logged. That's a huge industry in its own right. So we belong to the International Council for Toy Industry Standards, and they send inspectors into the printers that we work with to ensure that the paper is being ethically sourced, and all of the paper that we use, we know that trees are being planted to replace the trees that are being harvested to make the paper.
Oh, that's super.
So that's important to us. We use inks which have vegetable dyes, so that they're less polluting than the chemical inks. And we ship our books as economically as we possibly can. So we will always, our books go all over the world because we do a lot of business with publishers in different languages. But we try to always calibrate the shipment so that we're completely filling containers. And for our own purposes, we try not to ship more than once or twice a year. I mean, it's a kind of delicate balancing act. But I would say, too, that this is quite a subtle environmental point, but what we try to do is not publish what I would call throwaway books. So when ideas come into the office, we look at them really closely and we think, you know, is this an idea that's really going to run for years, decades? You know, is it worth developing? Because yeah. I just don't want to do something that's fly away, that's a good laugh, and then it's just gone out of fashion in 3 months' time. You know, so we try to create books that will be returned to by children and their parents for a long time. And we resist air freighting anything.
And the other thing, just with the paper you select, the second part of that is also your manufacturing standards, that yes. they're CARE certified. I love the name that it's CARE. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah.
But would you also mind telling us a little bit more about that?
Yes, so that has to do with ensuring that the printers we work with are lawful and safe and healthful. So that means that they have to employ people who are adults.
So no child labour.
So there's no child labour. They have to meet health and safety standards in their factories. They have to pay a proper salary to their employees. They have to give them proper time off. So those are the main things that... about human welfare.
I'm a bit cheeky reading your website here. As you're talking, it's such a beautiful website.
Oh, thank you.
Really lovely. And there's so much to it. I mean, on the first page, we've got how to become an ambassador. We have to ask you about that. Visit our Oxford studio. Read our blog or listen to our podcast. So there's a lot to excite people there. What is the Oxford Studio? Tell us a little bit about that.
The Oxford Studio is a bookshop and a community centre and an arts centre and our publishing offices all rolled into one.
Wow.
So I'm sitting in it at
the people
moment.
Can come and meet you and see where the books are made.
Absolutely.
And ask more about the process. That's fabulous. And then become an ambassador will mean maybe mums who'd like to get involved in selling your books, perhaps?
Yeah, that's right. The ambassador programme is a home selling programme and anyone can join it. Doesn't matter what you've done before with your life.
Lovely.
But if you're interested in selling books to your local community, then it's a very simple commission-based and discount-based model whereby you pay £65 to join, and then you get your first batch of books to get you going, and it's volume driven, so the more you do, the more money, the bigger the discount, the more money you make. But you can pick it up and put it down. Some people do it between October and December every year because they want an extra couple of £1,000 for Christmas. Some people do it all year round. A lot of people do it to help raise funds for charities that they're supporting.
And also you've got lovely, not just the books, but the podcasts to accompany the books, which is very exciting, I think, for children. It's a very easy to use website for children, actually, as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Lovely. Great.
Well, Tessa, thanks so very much for coming on tonight. It's been really lovely chatting to you. And thanks very much for sharing with us about your company.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Lovely. Thanks a lot. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Welcome back to The Parents Show. On tonight's show, we're talking about our consumer choices and how they affect both our children and the environment. We've already had Lucy Hamlin from Mini Naked on. She chatted to us about children's body care products, kind of products to avoid, manufacturing parts that are quite important. We should look at the sources of where the products are coming from, just to remind us a little bit about conscious consumerism, I guess, and reading the labels really well. Then next up, we had Tessa Strickland, who's the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Barefoot Books, sharing with us all about her delightful books, the great illustrations, the great stories about different cultures, about the environment. And then again, how they source their paper, how they do their manufacturing, how they do their shipping, all very ethical and all very important as well. And then next up, we've got Dame Hilary Bloom, who's the founder and director of the Charities Advisory Trust. And she's going to be talking to us about Peace Oil, which is an initiative of the Trust. And welcome, Dame Hilary. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Would you mind telling us a little bit more about Peace Oil, please?
Well, we thought about Peace Oil really quite a long time ago, when we realised that a lot of the news you get in the paper shows everybody's fighting, but actually people mostly want to live together in peace. And so we produced this oil in Israel, olive oil, which is made by Arabs, Jews, Druze, Bedouin, all working together.
And so is that working together to produce the olives and the manufacturing and bottling as well?
And both. It was very important to us that everybody worked as equals. We didn't want to have a situation where one group were on top and the others were just the labourers. So we took some time and we found just the right sort of conditions. There's a Jewish farmer whose father planted the olive trees, a lot of the olive trees, so good whiles to go. And he grows the olives, and they're taken to an olive press in the nearby village, and that's owned by Arabs. And they, within a matter of a few hours, they press the olives to get the best quality oil.
It's such a beautiful idea. You know, I'm just reading the website here. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that people... It's just something people would never have assumed ever happened, that people could work together. It's an example of how they work together to produce something.
But everybody, I mean, most people in the world live in communities that want to get along. Very few people really want to have a lot of fighting. Nobody wins by fighting. And we just don't hear about the good stuff. We tend
to, no.
I mean, when you think about the news today, which said, you know, actually murders had dropped the number of murders. Well, you'd never know it the way that we get our news. You get the feeling that, you know, it's not safe to let your children walk the streets.
And I think as well, there's such a sense of, I think everyone shares a sense of frustration and, you know, there's so little one can do to affect change in the world. And I think by simply buying something like the Peace Oil, I think you're making a statement, aren't you? You're supporting the idea of peace. You're supporting, you know, you're trying to provide that support to people.
No,
cooperation.
Yeah,
it's all those values that are...
And it's not just that. I mean, we didn't want Peace Oil to be, you know, something you bought on a sympathy vote. I mean, it's absolutely delicious oil. And we've had a lot of people, you know, great cooks saying, actually, it's really terrific oil. And it was the number one oil chosen in a series in The Independent.
That's right. It's won awards, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it has. It is delicious. And I think that becomes very important, because otherwise, you can't sustain it if you go, what's this? Your mother bought it at some raffle
That's
or bazaar
right.
somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work.
So the profits from Peace Oil are used to support peace and reconciliation
All
work
peace projects.
In the Middle East.
I mean, we have lots of initiatives for peace. I mean, we have people knitting together. We have people in Rwanda, for example, Hutu and Tutsi women who were war widows, and, you know, they were fighting each other. They sit and knit together, and we pay them for their sweaters that they knit for children who are needy children. We have Hindus and Muslims in India who sit and knit together. We had, in Israel, we had Jews and Arabs who were slimming together. The women,
wow.
It was hysterical. They
That's
had
amazing.
Very funny slimming groups. I think we're up to about the 20th group. And it's really funny how well they get on, you know. Because if you sit down with people, wherever I've been, anywhere in the world, if you sit with people, the women have the same worries. Wherever they are, they worry about their children? Are the children growing? Are they healthy? Are their husbands faithful? Are their teenage boys getting into trouble? Are their teenage girls getting into trouble? It's the same problems everywhere. People have much more in common than they have to separate them.
I guess it's just giving them the opportunity to actually sit down and talk, which often doesn't happen in those areas.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you know, and they're all joking together and laughing together.
It's just these initiatives are definitely not widely advertised enough. They're inspirational. And,
yes, I don't know why people don't think about them. If we all live and get on with our neighbours pretty well.
Yeah, lovely.
But
yeah.
even with buying the product, so you say it's a really good product, so instead of going to the usual, you know, a lot of people probably do buy organically certified olive oil, but instead of going to the usual and buying their products, you know, why not support a fabulous initiative? So it kind of gives off a good energy when you use it anyway on kind of a different level.
Yes, absolutely. And it actually is a wonderful gift to give people because, you know, at around £10 a bottle, it's rather top quality oil. It's not dearer than most top quality oils, but it becomes a wonderful present. You know, if you go out for dinner, I don't know if you've got small children, you'll never get out again. But if you do go somewhere, you need, want to take a bottle of wine, it's nice to take a bottle of peace oil instead.
Oh, that's a lovely
Last
idea.
Longer.
We're definitely going to do that. And let's think about Christmas hampers. We've only got, you know, a few months till Christmas. So I think that's a fabulous thing to put in anybody's hamper.
It's an enormously popular gift at Christmas. And we're waiting for the new crop to be delivered as well.
Well, that's, I'll just give the website out, Dame Bloom. It's www.peaceoil.org. Please look at the website. It's there's lots of detail about the history of the project. And I think it's something really worthwhile spreading the news about. So thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you very much and good luck to everybody.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
And welcome back to The Parent Show. We're talking tonight all about consumer choices as parents and how that impacts not only the environment, but, well, on where we're thinking about ethics, responsibility, how our purchases, what would you say, Georgie, how we're just about being just more conscious?
How it affects the earth, really. Yeah. So from, I guess, where it's sourced from, the people that it's sourced from, does it make a difference to them in a positive way or does it affect them negatively, like literally to the extreme? Is it a sweatshop or is it a cooperative where they have power in their own hands?
Yeah, we've had some absolutely fantastic guests. We've spoken to, we've got a series of fantastic
We've got Lucy Hamlin, we had first from Mini Naked.
We've had Dame Hilary Bloom from Peace Oil, an amazing initiative. We've had Barefoot Books. And last but not least, we have Tracy Currer from Eco Modo.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Great. I thought it'd be quite interesting to end off the show with someone who's not into consumerism at all. So it's not about buying anything, but it's in fact about lending things. So I'm hoping you can share with the listeners a little bit more about your initiative.
Absolutely. Ecomodo is a social enterprise. And as we've just said, what we're trying to do is encourage people to not go out and buy the things that they perhaps only occasionally use, but actually borrow them from people that live locally. And so we have a website called ecomodo.com, and basically people can come along and add items to lend and come along and then borrow those things from, as I say, people either locally or further abroad anywhere in the UK.
So people can go on as a lender or a lendee?
Yep.
Yeah.
So and you can just lend and you can just borrow or you can do both. It's really up to you.
Okay, I'm just looking at the website. It says Ecomodo Good Returns, lend and borrow each other's everyday projects, skills and space with confidence. That's interesting.
So basically what we're looking to do is get people not just to share their goods, so these things like tents and camera lenses and ladders, but also if they have a skill or time where they can help, you know, utilise that, you know, with somebody locally, or if they have a spare space. Again, they can put those things on there. And from my perspective, I'm a product designer, and I've spent a lot of time kind of trying to get manufacturers to change how they make stuff. And so what we try to do is with Ecomodo is actually think, you know, how can we help people change how they see products, not just as something they might use every few weeks, you know, perhaps a few times a year, but actually, you know, start to see those things as assets.
Because I also saw on your site that you can, so people can lend them to each other for free, which and think, but also people can also make money or raise money for charity.
That's
how does that
right.
work?
We have, so basically, as a lender comes on, people just need to go out and look to see, you know, what's in their shed, what's under their bed, and think of some things that they'd be happy to lend. They can go along to the site, they can add them, and then, as you say, they can choose to either lend for free, or they can choose to take a little bit of money, take that for themselves, or donate that to one of our good causes. We've got 63 good causes so far, including some kind of bigger charities like Friends of the Earth and the Prince's Trust. But what may be interesting for your listeners is we also have a couple of school PTAs that have started getting parents to share to start fundraising for the school as well. So we're really happy for any kind of not-for-profit group to come together and start sharing to raise money for that group. And what the benefit is obviously, you know, that group may actually be able to get a little bit of the extra income, but also, you know, you're also helping out one of your neighbours get the thing that they need just for the time they need it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So just using it as a donation for the, everyone gives it a small donation for
exactly.
lending things, it doesn't impact on the environment
exactly.
because they're not going out to buy it and
exactly.
the school benefits.
And, you know, what we're trying to do is really get all of those things, you know, it's not necessarily the things you use all the time. There's this fantastic statistic that actually only 10% of the things we buy we use more than once a month. So what we're really looking for is that the other 90% of stuff that we all have, we want to keep because we use it every, you know, we'd still need to use it. But while we're not using it, somebody else can borrow it. And as I say, you know, the add-on effect is while you're doing that, you could raise, you know, a few extra pounds for, you know, a favourite charity.
And Tracy, on a sort of practical level, you know, you borrow something and then your five-year-old trashes it. You know, how does that all work?
We tried to put in place a number of things to help instill trust and to help people feel a little bit more confident about lending their stuff. So as a lender, you can also opt to have a deposit taken, which Ecomodo then holds for the duration of the lend. And like eBay, we have a feedback system. So once we know that both parties are happy, the item's been returned, we can then return the refundable deposit. And also for higher value goods, lenders can also opt to have their item insured for the duration of the lend. This does add a small charge to the borrow fee because the borrower pays for the insurance. But basically that means that much more higher value items are coming online. So things like multimedia projectors, iPads, netbooks, those kind of things.
Wow, that's amazing. So you can borrow an iPad.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is that we have, you know, we're not completely opposed to people buying things, but what we're trying to encourage is also people spending their money on something they're really going to utilise.
Such a fantastic idea, because you want to try it out before you go
exactly.
and spend £500 on it.
We have a category called Try Before You Buy.
Wonderful.
And if it's not just electronic goods, it's things like a bread maker or a juicer. You know, you kind of think, actually, I'd love to give that a go, and you end up spending 50, 60, 70 quid on one, and then you use it for a few weeks, and the novelty wears off, and then it kind of gets left on the kitchen surface, and after a few months, it kind of goes in the cupboard, and we, you know, and actually, if you could just borrow one for a couple of weeks, you could give it a go and actually see if you think it's something that you will use all the time, or just to get that hype factor out.
Wow, I really love it. It's fantastic. It's so, you know, I think the theme tonight is about not being so wasteful.
Exactly. And one of the things, because as I say, I'm a designer and I used to design products. I used to spend a lot of time designing things to make them more delightful for people to want to buy. And when we went out and started talking to people about products, we actually found that, you know, people wanted, you know, to be in touch with their neighbours around skills and spaces as well. So for us, waste is not just about, you know, kind of, you know, the physical waste with, you know, within a product, but it's actually people wasting their talents when they could be helping somebody out, or their time, you know, or just, you know, empty space which could be utilised by somebody else.
Definitely, so, and that also creates a community in the area where someone might not have been in touch with that many people. It's a nice way to get in touch.
Exactly. As an organisation, we've obviously come at it from an environmental perspective, and that's our driver.
Yeah.
What we love is actually the, you know, that kind of outcome where bringing people back together, so people get to meet new people in their neighbourhoods and whatever. And, you know, for us, that's a fantastic outcome of something which was not, you know, it wasn't our initial thoughts on it. We wanted to kind of change how manufacturers start to make products and make them more fixable, more robust, give them longevity. And we were hoping to do that by kind of getting consumers to rethink what they want so they can demand that from manufacturers.
Wonderful. So the website again is www.ecomodo, that's ecomodo.com. You're on Facebook, because we found you, and you're on Twitter, so no excuses for anybody.
And we put out a little tweet about you earlier.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So lovely. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm sure it's one that people will really, really appreciate.
You might actually see some lending circles start up in St Albans, really.
Yes, we've got a. I had a little search around your area. I'm actually in the New Forest, but I had a little search around your area, and we've got a few people that have added some items. We've got a couple of lending circles that have started, so we're kind of getting there. But we are still very much a new startup, so it takes a while to kind of get the message out and get to people. So, you know, being on shows
Brilliant.
Like this, we really appreciate it.
Okay, well done. It's fantastic. You've got the parent show support.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Coming up next, we've got Blur, and then back with Claire Healy and Raring to Go.
In the country, whatever that one is.
Now, we're back with Claire Healy. How are you, Claire?
Hello, I'm very well,
from
thank you.
From Raring to Go, St Albans. We're raring to go. The sun is going to come out. What are we going to do with our kids?
Oh, do you know what? Do you know what the good news is? The sun is coming out, and the splash park, now because of the drought is over, supposedly, the splash park is back to normal hours, which is 10 till 6. So if you want to go down there, because it's going to be nice at the weekend, 25, 26, proper sunshine, proper weather.
Summer.
Go down to the park. The park is so
It'll
fantastic.
It'll be a bit jam-packed, though, Claire. What do you do
will,
about
all these crowds?
It will,
and be careful where you park as well. I know, that's the problem.
Now, Georgie, what do you think as a green parent about people parking all over the verges outside Verulamium Park?
I know, they don't seem to monitor it, though, so I think people will continue
just
doing
do it,
until...
There's been a lot in the papers at the Race for Life on Sunday, when everyone was getting tickets for parking up on the on the verges, and there was a bit of... Yes, they weren't terribly happy about it. But,
I know, but it has been ruined, especially with the muddy, with the muddiness, it really
And it's
has
dangerous
kind of
as well,
it.
Isn't it, that side of it coming out of onto Blue House Hill, which is a bit difficult. But I won't tell you anything about Verulamium Park, because there's nothing specifically happening down there that I know of this weekend, apart from obviously the splash park being open, so go down there for that. But be careful where you park. Saturday, you could go to the Highland, why do I want to say that? Highfield Park, Summer Fete, which is down at Highfield Park. It's a really, really nice day. They do this every year. It's 2 till 6 on Saturday, free entry, and they have a beer tent. I've said that for you, Cathy. Fairground rides, coconut shies, lots of things going on. They have donkey rides, all sorts. So it's a really nice community event, because it's quite a small community down there. So that's on Saturday. On Sunday, a bit more classy, Folk by the Oak at the Hatfield Park, part of Hatfield House. It's basically a family festival, really, with folk music, lots of folk bands and things like that, so a little bit different. Under fives go free, gates open 1 o'clock, and the music starts from 2 till 10, so we take a picnic, bottle of wine,
lovely.
Have a nice day
nice
out.
Start to the holidays.
Really nice. If it's a nice day out as well. Another nice day out, Saturday, is the It's a Knockout Charity Challenge. I don't know if you've been along to one of these.
No.
I think it's the third one that they're having. It's held at the OAs, the Old Albanians, on Harpenden Road. And basically, it's a bit of a spoof of the old It's a Knockout. So everyone's going up and down, up slidey, castle-y things, and jumping into foam and getting wet, getting messy, getting covered in all sorts of goo and things. And they have teams of people challenging each other, but you can go along and watch if you haven't got a team together. I think they are still asking for teams.
Now that would be hysterical. We need a parent show team the next time.
We really should do that, because that would be fantastic.
Watching Trevor Merriman fall into the water from a height.
We couldn't have him in.
I want to put one of those similar wrestler suits on.
But this is really, we've been to see this a couple of times, and it's a really good day out, because they've got all the sort of entertainment. You can just sit with your picnic watching, and it is great fun. It's such a laugh. And they have children's teams as well, which are for children up to 14. So again, the children, you know, children can just go along, five or six of them, and just join a team, which is a great idea.
Fantastic.
So that's on Sunday. And then on Wednesday, I think it's the 25th, isn't it, Wednesday, Harpenden Common has a Classics on the Common, classic cars, classic vehicles. So they have motorbikes and scooters and cars. They have apparently almost 1,500 vehicles up there on the common, which I find quite amazing. Can't think how they would all fit in, but it's meant to be Britain's biggest midweek classic car meeting. Oh, so if you're interested in cards, if you want to take dad out or one of the boys or something,
it's a really brilliant event, isn't it, for everybody?
It's really interesting to see, you know, different.
You always know what's on because you see really strange old cars driving around the roads of St Albans.
There are traffic jams
what?
As well, aren't there, because they're really slow.
Exactly.
Now, one other thing, if I've got time to mention, I know obviously it's the start of the holidays tomorrow. Some children have broken up today or earlier in the week. But we had on Margie Skinner, didn't we, a few weeks ago from the Step Outside Guides. And I haven't done one of these yet, but I know they are fantastic. I've spoken to people who've done them. If you are thinking of a day out in London, I just couldn't recommend them more. They're £5. Buy one from the stepoutsideguides.com, I think, is the website. For a fiver, you can go and you can have a whole day, take your picnic again, and go into London and see all these really unusual sites, different places, different things to do.
Yeah, we had Margie on the show a few weeks back, so she brought the guide in. So literally, you go out on the train to London and your kids just follow the book, but learn
so much.
And the kids. It's like a sort of a treasure trail, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a nice way to keep them excited. So I missed where you can buy them from.
You can buy them from their website, which is stepoutsideguides.com. And actually, if you wanted to win one, you could enter the competition, which is on Raring to Go, the website, which is www.raringtogo.co.uk/St Albans. And there are a few other vouchers and things that you need to look out for in your magazines. Vouchers for Big Space and for DJ's Jungle, and also for some holiday activities at the Hertfordshire Sports Village as well. So have a flick through it. It's well worth having a look at.
Lovely. Is that it, Claire?
That's about it. Yes, the summer holidays are funny because they tend to be, things tend to quieten down a little bit. You think there's loads going on.
I think everyone does need a bit of a break, some downtime maybe.
Everyone's very tired,
It's been very long term, hasn't it?
I think, just because it's been so dull and rainy, it does quite take a lot of energy.
Has anybody been down
to
the stream or done any parky activities yet?
No.
This year?
No.
Haven't been able to.
We've got the mud outside our house, so we're always in the puddles.
Yeah. It's not quite what I meant, but.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Claire, for coming in. And thank you to all our guests. Georgie, can you remember them all to thank them?
Should I see if I can remember?
See if you can remember them all.
Okay, so to thank all four that we had on tonight. First of all, we had Lucy Hamlin from Mini Naked. Then we had Tessa Strickland from Barefoot Books. We had Dame Hilary Bloom, who's the founder of Charities Advisory Trust, and she talked to us about Peace Oil. And then we had Tracy Kira, founder of Ichamoda, the online lending site. So what a wonderful bunch.
It was an action-packed show. Thank you, Georgie. You arranged all those guests tonight, and they were really inspirational. I think I will certainly be looking up all those businesses and feeling a bit more, trying to be a bit more responsible about what I buy and why I buy it. So thank you for joining us on The Parent Show tonight. I'm going to leave you with our sponsorship jingle, and then we're going to go to Eric Church's Springsteen track, because I have to get in just before the news that I saw Bruce Springsteen last week in Hyde Park.
Oh.
Good night. Have a good evening. All the best.
Night.